last night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Funny, I mean, I didn't know how long other podcasts, I didn't know how long a podcast could really be until I started ever watching Rogan's. And then it seems like, you know, I see people start podcasts and do like a 20-minute version. And then there was like a 10-minute one that Will Sasso was doing for a little bit with Callan and, yeah. and Dalia. And then, so, but 3.5 hours is crazy. But you guys are such homies that I'm sure it probably, there was no really end in sight, right? You could probably could have done another three.
That's so exactly. Whereas I've done my podcast and I'm like, I'm 20 minutes in. I'm like, is it over?
Yeah, I know.
Is it over?
Which, by the way, it's, I mean, less is more, but also people probably want to hear you and Whit gab. But what can I ask, what the fuck you can talk about for 3.5 hours together? That's like, are you
skincare,
ever?
Right, it's okay, that's all a lot of it.
Yeah.
All of it.
Now, is it, are you engaged the whole time?
Yeah.
Cool.
But I'm like, yeah.
You've always struck me as a good listener, but also she's...
Really?
Yeah.
How do you know? I feel like I am. How do you know?
I don't know, because you just... You're always... You've never been afraid of eye contact, and that's a big giveaway. You love eye contact, Esther. You're such an eye contact slut.
That's so funny.
No, but yeah, you just always... As long as I've known you, you've just... Yeah, I don't know. And I've never... Also felt like I've had which we're all guilty of, one of these moments. Like, talk, ask me a question about my day.
How are you? What's up?
I'm good. It's
I know. We all
do that, but I feel like I've never had that with you. But maybe we need to hang out
that
for 3.5 hours. Yeah.
No, I really don't do that. Wait, I'm gonna actually, speaking of that, silence this. Okay.
Cool.
I'm safe.
Gage, you want me to move over?
No, she's just not. I'll show it to her. I'll actually show her the framing so she knows where to be.
Are you in your office, Esther?
Yeah, it's like my office / playroom. If you saw how disgusting it was in here, I see. Okay.
So yeah, just a little bit, and that's where the.
Cool. We get to see the shrubbery too.
Framing will be.
Yeah.
Is the window open? I can't tell.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Are you a Are you a fan of natural light? Boy, Adam, be prepared. What a fucking bad question. Are you? I was just talking to a friend about this. It's like not having a lot of outside human connection. Like, he said the word cranky and he was like, is that a word? And I'm like, wow, it's been a minute. He's like, yeah. He's like, I almost was going to bust out a thesaurus before we got on the phone just because I haven't said a lot of words. And I'm like, well, that's depressing. You know, talk to your dog. But, do you,
I'm impressed you're in the studio. Like, that's cool. I did just go to Whitney's house, which I can't believe I did it. I'm actually
Oh, really?
So anxious. I'm really anxious that I did it, but I just felt like I had to.
She wipes it down, right? She seems pretty OCD with keeping it germ free.
If she has COVID, like, I got the world's largest dose of it just now.
Yeah,
because we were talking for 3 hours, so I'm like a little anxious, but whatever. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's, but also, come on, who doesn't want to? I mean, you got to do the show, and also, her house looks pretty spectacular from what I can see on Instagram. Jesus Christ,
it's
she's
crazy.
Got like a bee farm in her pool, right?
It's absurd.
That's the
it's so nice.
Fuck. Do you want that type of money and living situation, or are you pretty? Were you raised to kind of just appreciate the little things and kind of keep a humble, mindset?
I literally want to live in a shed in my parents' backyard. So that gives you
that's the dream.
Idea. Yeah. Wait, are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, of course. Jump right into it.
Yeah, I want to live in a shed. So I literally want to live in, I mean, a nice shed, not a bad one, but. Yeah, that's like maintenance. I don't really like maintenance. I want as little to do as possible.
You're not a handy
guy. So I can focus. No,
Me
I did
neither.
learn how to I learned how to caulk. Caulk. It's a
I think it's
dangerous word to
cuck.
say.
I think it's a cuck.
No.
You've learned how to cuck. Yeah. So you sit in the corner and watch people fuck your significant other.
CAULK.
Gotcha.
So that was my big like thing that I learned, but I don't want to
That's
learn
huge.
more. My brain is full. I don't need more.
Yeah, it's for me. I've always been like, if I have to concern myself with too many other like life things, like changing a tire and doing this, then I'm taking up room for creative thoughts, and I
Yes,
only have enough space.
but that mindset is actually so toxic because
I know.
then you start to get bitter. You're like, I'm like, why am I fucking emptying the refrigerator ice machine? I'm supposed to be making tie-dyes. Like, I'm like in my
Yeah.
head, my inner monologue just like hates myself that I have to like, I don't know, like monitor like water damage. I don't know. I'm just, it's a nightmare. We have to learn how to be humans
We
at some
do.
point. You have to just, we just have to give in and like accept that responsibilities are our fate.
Wow. It's fucking, I didn't know we were gonna get that
So deep,
profound this early into
so
the pod.
deep. I'm so interesting and deep. Adam, how are you? What's going
I'm
on?
good.
How is your pandemic?
It's I think like most people's highs and lows, ups and downs. But
Yeah.
look, I the way I kind of gauge it is, are you and this is when I try to flip it on myself if I can tell that I'm maybe just waking up on the wrong side of being in a good place, like mentally and physically. That I just make sure that I recognize it and I do something about it and don't just go like give in to the feelings of being stressed out or overwhelmed so that I'll maybe like go down a wormhole of news
Yeah.
coverage or stuff and just kind of like
Yeah.
pile onto it. I'll try to be real quick, but I'm not someone that's like, I'll just take a walk and that'll fix everything. Like somebody was telling me the other day, they're like, dude, when I just like if I get I just go out, I take a walk and I take a 3 hour walk. And I've done that sometimes and it's nice, but it's never been something that's a complete game changer for me. It's the I have to be like satisfied creatively. And so I've been trying to, I've been doing a bunch of weird character podcasts with Jeremiah, and doing Rick's podcast was a blast. And
Oh my
these
God, Rick's podcast is a nightmare. What are you talking about?
Well, we get super stoned, so it
You
is just oh, so it is just a
No,
silly, I don't.
I love it. Those podcasts turn out so funny and
Yeah.
so great. I love it. But every time I have to go over there to do it, even though I am simultaneously grateful, I'm also just like, ugh. Ugh.
Which is why your dynamic is so great. Did you even have to climb his balcony like I did you?
No, but I wish I would have. I showed up. He wasn't wearing a mask. I'm like, we're inside. You're not wearing a mask. He's giving me these calculated directions on how to remove my shoes so that they don't touch his floor. I'm like, you're not wearing a mask, and I can't get my fucking germs on your floor.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I was so mad. We got into this huge fight, but yeah, I wish I did the climb on the balcony thing. That would have been
He threw
better.
down like an old school, like fire school. Like, did you ever have at your schools where they brought like a it was to simulate like how you escape from a fire. So
Yeah.
they had like the
Yeah.
okay, I think that's a pretty universal thing where they pull up the fake. It was like a fake house, and it was like so you could feel the back of the door how hot it was, and they would have smoke
Yes.
come in, and you'd stop, drop, and
How
roll, and
fun.
oh, it was the
Like
most
a
fun.
fake pretend fire? Could we?
Look,
That's so fun.
yeah.
I hate adulthood. It's not
It
fun.
sucks. Somebody asked me the other day, quick tangent. They go, would you rather drown to death or be burned alive? And I was like, dude, first of all,
Fuck
is there,
you.
yeah, like, what are you plotting, by the way? And what is happening in your quarantine where these are the thoughts that are, he's like, well, I was just watching this, like, move the shark documentary. And the guy, like, was like swimming away from the shark. And then he was out by himself for a while and he, like, almost drowned. And, like, so he's like, I was just thinking about if I drown, like, treading for water. And I was like, I mean, I guess, I don't know. Drowning seems pretty traumatic, but burning seems like it would probably take longer. I have
I
spilled cup of
mean,
noodle soup on my genitals when I was in the 8th grade, and I'll never forget that. And neither will my
really?
kids. Psych, won't be having them because of that.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying the episode. Man, it's good to be back. And you know what? The best part about being back is sharing the goodies with you, the fans. I love candles, okay? You know from listening to this podcast, we've always had candles living around the apartment and now my new place. And I'm tired of buying the bullshit candles from the store. I want some personal touch. I want something handmade. So that's why I found Hangover Candle Company. That's right. Homemade by a bartender in Fort Collins, Colorado. He's a big comedy fan, podcast fan, reached out, said, I love the pod, would love to send you some candles. I'm like, I'm not comfy giving you my address. He's like, come on, trust me. I was like, all right, let's roll the dice. Boom. Now I've got fucking 40 different flavors of Hangover Candle Company candles in my place. They're cut, sanded, poured, packed, and shipped all by him. And you can choose from over 200 different containers, okay, to build your candle in, and over 40 different scents to create your own smell. You can customize your own scent. Shit, man, they've got flavors like fucking root beer, apple pie, cinnamon stick, coffee, fresh cut grass, hazelnut, lavender, leather, maple syrup, peach, pine, sandalwood, spearmint, sea breeze, vanilla bean, watermelon. Go to Hangover Candle Co. On Etsy, okay? Go to Etsy, type in Hangover Candle Co. It'll pop up the shop. And then pick your candles and then use the promo code ALN25 at checkout to get 25% off your first order. 25%. Hangover Candle Co. is on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. But again, go to Etsy, type in Hangover Candle Co., find the candles and the smells you want, create your own, and then use ALN25 at checkout to get 25% off your first order. I love candles. They're great for any occasions, bar mitzvahs, circumcisions, fucking weddings, funerals, gender reveal parties, divorce parties, coming out parties, coming in parties, coming parties. These candles are the shit, and they're my fave, and I want you guys to have them. So type in Etsy.com and then type in Hangover Candle Co. And pick your candles and use ALN25 at checkout for 25% off. All right? Start smelling better. Start looking better. Start feeling better, okay? Because everybody farts, and candles are a great way to get rid of that. And now back to the episode. Do you cook?
I've been cooking in the pandemic. I'm really afraid of hurting
great
myself.
Show, by the way.
What?
Cooking in the pandemic. Because no one has a cooking show right now. You should definitely start one. That was a joke.
Well, you know what? I know. I started the pandemic strong, like cooking every day, and then now I've just but now I'm like takeout only, and there was that 1 minute though where I was like, wow, I'm like a cook now. I cook all my own meals, and when I go back to work, I'm gonna meal prep, and I'm gonna be this superstar of cooking, and it's fuck all to shit. Do you cook? Do you
fuck
cook?
No.
Do
no.
people cook?
Okay, I will good. Try. I
fuck no.
My girlfriend cooks, so that's she loves to do that. And I
you guys live together?
Yeah. Yeah.
And oh, that's so good. That's
and
cool.
I bought a place last May that has finally it's the first time I've ever had a kitchen. And that's like
what?
A kitchen that you well, I mean I don't even consider
did you
my
have
last
a Bunsen burner before? What?
yeah.
How did you not?
The kitchen I had before was the kitchen that Charlie Bucket and his grandparents and mom had in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory was a better kitchen than what I had at when I lived next to the Laugh Factory in this little apartment. It was just
oh my god, I know where that is. I
not those apartments, not those
oh,
apartments.
Okay,
Laurel
okay.
and Hollywood. It was at the top of Laurel, but still, it was you know
oh,
a two bedroom.
What a nice location.
It was great. There was a pool in the middle. It looked like Melrose Place. There was the pool in the middle and all the apartments around, so you could
super
stare at
classic
the,
LA.
Classic
sorry,
LA.
Stare at what?
Stare at the old Russian guy that would swim laps at 7 a.m. every morning, and I'd always try I'd always try to high five him too when I would see him, and he never high fived me, and so it became this thing where I was just like every time I'd see him, I was like it's and I'd put my hand up, and he just like would walk right by me, and I was like I don't know if it's a Russian thing to not high five or maybe he's so tired from swimming laps that he doesn't have any more arm strength, but. He wouldn't even smile at me. It was a weird place. I think there was a lot of shady, like, I don't want to say sex trafficking, but definitely, like, drug deals and weird Airbnbs and, like, also very classic LA.
Never a sentence I want to hear. I don't want to say sex trafficking, but...
Yeah.
But...
yeah, where did you live when you first got to LA? We met, I feel
I
like,
lived
when...
basically...
When you first
very
got...
Very early on when
right.
I started.
Right.
I actually live very close to where you're talking about. I lived on Fountain in Fairfax.
Oh, cool.
Actually, Fountain in Hayworth. Yeah. So I was always right around that area. And, you know, It's weird that you say old Russian man, because I don't think of West Hollywood as being very having like a big Russian population, but it must, because there's the only Russian bakery I've ever seen in Los Angeles is right in the middle of West Hollywood, like in the hottest, primest real estate next to Whole Foods, which I've always been like, I have always gone there, and every time I get something, it's always so fucking dry and not good. And I'm like, how is this bakery in business? Like, there's a Sprinkles Cupcakes 3 fucking miles away. There's like all the hottest bakeries in the world have built second locations here in West Hollywood. How is this dry ass Russian bakery? Now, I'm Russian,
Survive.
So I can talk shit.
Me too.
How do they, yeah, how? Do you know how they survive?
No, they're always just like, "You want muffin to be moist? You pour water on it." You're like, "That's not. Why don't you just fucking make it better?" Yeah, they. I don't know how they survive. It's and they. I mean, they do have like, you know, the oddest of pastry selections, which is probably the appeal to it. But I don't know. Maybe the location. Maybe because it's so such a different spot in next to that Whole Foods. It's the contrast is so. I don't know. I don't know how they. Maybe there's
There's
enough.
no answer. Whatever you were just trying for, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Stop right there.
Wait, when did you move to LA though?
I moved to LA in April of 2009.
From
How about
Chicago,
you?
right?
Yes. Yeah.
And you were doing, did you even do stand up before? I did a couple sets before I moved to LA just to feel like I do stand up and not be totally terrified of starting in LA. But I mean, I started here, and as did you, right?
Very similar. Where
Yeah.
did you come from?
Seattle.
Oh, wow. That's
Yeah.
such a cool place to be from. I'm
It
so
is.
jealous of that.
Well, Chicago is a.
Why did you even? I'm from a suburb, though. I don't know. Seattle, Chicago is still so Midwesty, which I do love, but
Yeah.
like, I just don't. I feel like when I think of Seattle, I think of like so high class. Like, you guys are like, you knew about coffee before the rest of us. Like, I just feel
Oh, we know where the
like I
beans come
want to
from,
be.
baby. Yeah. The
It just feels like there's good education there or
Yeah.
something.
It's I mean, it's a very I don't know. I love being from there. I love that it's so close to LA, and I love the you know, I'm a big seasons guy because of that. So I'm just like I love the LA sun all the time, but I do when it gets like gloomy, I love it. Because it, because I just grew
I
up in that, so I
same.
didn't know any different. And I like fall is just the shit, like a classic. Seeing the leaves change, not that it's something that I like, you know, really, you know, it's not like I YouTube like videos of leaves changing, like I miss it that much. But I just the just like being in a like, I don't know, just be feeling also cold and like feeling like the cold air, like that's why I'll wear shorts and a t-shirt in like 40, 50 degree weather in Seattle because I just love. To I just you get so used to the warmth out here, which is great that I like to I don't know, and maybe I just my blood's warm. I don't know. I should probably get my blood checked, but
Well, no, I'm very, I get cold. I'm like, you know, a small woman. I get cold very easily.
yeah.
But I will say that this January, I was in Chicago for the month and I was a little bit depressed and I like fed off of the cold weather. It just like energized me in a way that
Yeah.
I'd never experienced it before. And I don't know if it was because I was depressed, like just feeling that cold fucking Chicago wind just felt good. It
Yeah.
felt really like made me feel alive. I don't know. It was I. So I hear what you're saying. Like the seasons are kind of essential, and I do think that's why in LA you can get a little bit depressed because it's like, oh, every day is the same, and
Yeah, it's a little Groundhog
which is weird
Day-ish.
because there, yeah. But people, there are people who are like you have the sun, you have it all,
I
but
know.
kind of need some changes.
It's not all that great, people. LA ain't all no, it's awesome. I did you ever think you would live here and have a hit TV show and have super famous friends and perform at the best
You're
clubs
so
and have
nice.
a hour Comedy Central special produced by Adam Sandler, Hot for My Name?
Ah,
Esther, it's so fucking
thank
good.
you.
You were funny
Thank
right out of the
you.
gate though, so it's not surprising, but I think you can speak to this. Like it's funny to probably I first of all want to know just seeing the spec did you watch the special all the way through once it came out, or are you one of those people that like I can't listen to my sets, I can't review the game tape, I don't like to hear my voice, I don't like to, or did you get over that at a certain point and realize it was necessary to the
Okay,
process?
so
Yeah.
such a good question. So much to say.
Are you a fan of good lighting?
That was so funny. But daylight, the fact that you called yourself out was brilliant. Okay. So I record every single set that I perform. I audio record it. And I have never listened to one of them.
I
record every set and I've never listened to one.
Ever.
Take that in. I can't do. I've literally sat in my therapist's office and she's like, okay, we're going to do it now. And I'm like, no, next week. I hate it. And it's part of it is laziness and just not wanting to go there. The listening to myself do a set is absolutely disgusting. It's awful. Do you? Can you?
I
love it.
I have to. I think early on I did a lot because I was so focused on not hearing laughs to stuff that I thought was funny and being like, fuck, why didn't that work? To really give too much thought into like, man, I don't like hearing my voice. I sound stupid. But then after a while I would hear jokes, even ones that, you know, once you get into it and start to trust yourself more and get more confident and know that trying something new, you're like, oh, I am pretty confident that there's, even if this doesn't crush all the way through, that this idea is going to get enough laughs for me to explore, you know, in sets to come. But I would not even like hearing, it felt so much better on stage. I'm listening to it and I'm just like, oh, like why, like it's not, I'd start to doubt the comedy of it. And because I didn't like hearing, so I was like, I can't do that. So I think as a default, it made me more aware on stage of trying to like remember new stuff. And I would go listen for just those moments and not listen to the set all the way through.
It's just so interesting to hear you say that you wouldn't like your voice. Cause I feel like you, which is everyone, but you like famously have an amazing voice.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, it's almost like when Halle Berry got cheated on and you're like, oh, everybody gets cheated on. It's like, oh, you don't like your voice? Like, oh my God. Okay, great. Like such a relief because you have the best, you have like the best voice. So that's really, that's helps me be able to cope a little bit. I actually can watch my sets better than listen because if I'm watching, I'm more focused on my appearance.
Right.
And that I'm totally fine with dissecting. But if I have to just dissect the sound of the crowd versus what I'm saying, and like Dave, my fiance, always makes fun of me and gives me shit because he's like, I think you always think you did better than you really did. Because I'll be like, I had such a good set. And then we'll listen. And then like when I do force myself to listen with him, he's like, this is okay. So, but which is a little bit scary because you never want to be the person that thinks you're better than you are because that's horrible. But I think it's good to at least have a little confidence to keep going anyway.
Did you have a watch party? Did you watch it with your folks or your agents or did you like do a Zoom watch thing or?
I just watched it by myself. You know, my boyfriend, my fiance, whatever he is, he was in and out of the room, which is so nice. But, you know, I was very involved in editing it. So
cool.
Which was painful at times, not going to lie. And also, you know, when you do the same set over and over again, the last thing you want is like anything to do with it. Now, but because my special also has other scenes in it, those were fun for me to rewatch.
Which I love.
My parents.
Yeah, I don't know if that was your. I'm assuming it was because you just are a very creative, outside the box person, and also I know how big of a, you know, part of just your life and career your folks are, and seeing them, bringing them into it was like really, I could tell, really special for you, and also it was like. It was a cool way to do it because, I don't know, specials, you know, not that we're oversaturated with them by any means, but it's just, it's, you kind of know what you're getting each time with the hour and to break it. I've always viewed like all comedy this way, like even with the just being on stage, it's like, it's the stage is there for you to be funny, but there's no rule book for it. So it's like whether you're fast, you're slow, you have music, you don't. Like, that's why when people kind of judge sometimes, like if someone gets up there with a guitar or they are doing this, or, you know, Rick Glassman pulls out a puppet for a quick bit sometimes, it's like,
oh my God,
it's just to be fun. It's, there's no, and so even with the special, to kind of to rewrite the playbook and incorporate, I loved it. And you must have shot it, what, three different times? Because I think you had three different outfits in the whole throughout.
Four. So we did we did two nights and we did two shows a night. And, you know, we were able to kind of do that because the venue was really small. And so it was affordable. It wasn't, you know, we didn't do some like big fancy venue. So that kind of allowed us to stretch.
Spacious, which was great.
It looked nice. Yeah. That Dynasty Typewriter downtown, it's such a nice space, but it's small. I think you and I are similar in the fact that, like, we're not only stand-up comedians. Like, you're an actor with a huge resume. And like you were saying, you do character podcasts. Like, you've done so much sketch work. Like, that's kind of the ball game that I like existing in, whereas, like, I do comedy. And so that means, like, I like to act in funny things and do a podcast where I can be a little silly. Like, I just like being able to do all of the things. And I think that's what makes you and I, like, open to playing with the rules. Whereas you're right, there's a lot of comedians who are pretty strict about, like, this is how you write a joke, this is how you do a special. Like, and those people are great. And we need those 100%. People too. But I totally am on the same page as you with that.
Do you think you were drawn to, like, when you were in Chicago, the people that just kind of got you excited about comedy, were they doing similar things that were kind of multifaceted and not just kind of doing it the same way?
Well, yeah, you know, when I really liked watching SNL growing up and really looked up to Chris Farley and Adam Sandler, David Spade, those people I always thought were so funny. And yeah, I actually didn't even really know what stand-up was until high school. And then I went to the Scotland Fringe Festival with my high school class. And
holy shit.
I know.
I went in college for 6 weeks with a group from USC.
Did?
That's one of the craziest experiences of my life. Did you go to perform or just go to watch?
We did a show, but we did not go for 6 weeks. We went for like maybe 10 days or something.
Still. Whoa.
That's where so cool, so weird.
Yeah.
That's where I first discovered what stand-up comedy was.
There's thousands of shows every day and so many little black box theaters and bigger venues and so many stand-up shows that are just like at bars. I mean, it's crazy. So you saw your first show there? And
yes, I want you to guess who the first comedian I saw was. You'll never guess, it's impossible, but it is someone who's really amazing. It's a female comedian who's like iconic. Can you guess? This is the worst thing I've ever done to anyone.
No, can I narrow it down, like, by, I don't know, race or shoe size?
Blonde, white, female. Think of someone where if that was the first person you saw, it would just blow your mind.
Ellen?
No.
B. Arthur?
I'll tell you. Maria Bamford.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Wow.
She was the first one I saw, and I was like, I sat there just like jawed to the floor, like, what is this? What did I just experience?
So silly.
What? Oh my God. Yeah. She was so funny. It was so cool. It was, and that was just how I like became like, then I wanted to only see comedy at the festival, and everyone else I saw was terrible. So it was a real letdown. But did you get to see stand up comedy when you went?
We worked the whole time. We like, it was just, you know, I was on the younger side of, because a few other of my classmates that went, we had just graduated in 05. And so a lot of the people that went were, the oldest, I think, was somebody that was like 20 years removed from graduating. But we all built all our sets. We had one venue and we did like, I think, six different shows a day. There was like a dark play. There was a musical. There was one show that was like the hit of the festival was called Star Wars in 30 Minutes. So it was like, it was like everybody played like 15 characters and it was constantly, it was really fast. It was just constantly moving and quick, like lots of quick dialogue. It was amazing. And it was in this tiny theater and it was always packed and it was always a midnight show. But I couldn't really, I got out one night to go see some shows but I studied abroad in London my junior year and that's when I first saw stand up and saw this guy named Ross Noble, who was a big comic in London and was big on crowd work, and that really got me interested in that. But I did a bunch of shitty bar shows, and yeah, I just kind of got a bug for it.
I'm just kidding. There's nobody there. Hey guys, comedian Adam Wright here. Hope you're enjoying this episode of the About Last Night podcast. Boy, I got to tell you, I've been feeling good lately. And the reason why? Koi CBD. That's right. Back in the game. Feeling like my best self. Look, Koi CBD is the best CBD company in the business. I don't care what you hear from other people, other comics, Koi CBD. See, I got so much BBD, CBD inside me, I ain't even fucking talking right. You know why? Because I slept well on the Koi CBD gummies. That's right. They've got everything from tinctures to bath bombs to gummies. They got a skincare line coming soon. They got hand sanitizer. During these times, it's very important. So what you want to do, if you want to start feeling like your best self, you want to take some Koi CBD bombs, put them in the bath, okay? What? Yeah, come on in. Jackson, I'm doing an ad for my podcast. Can you say hi?
Hello.
Say, I use CBD gummies.
I use CBD gummies.
From Koi.
From Koi.
Koi's the best.
Koi's the best.
It makes me feel good.
It makes me feel good.
I feel like my best self.
I feel my best self.
Look at these muscles.
Look at these muscles.
Kiss them. If you get Koi CBD right now, you go to KoiCBD.com, promo code AboutLastNight, and you get 20% off your first order. That's incredible. Bath bombs, tinctures, skincare, hand sanitizer, gummies. They've got everything. They're my favorite. It's who I use. So start using it for you too. I can't recommend these guys enough. They're homies and all this shit works. Jackson, say 20% off.
20% off.
If you use the promo code About Last Night.
If you use the promo code After Night.
About Last Night.
About Last Night.
Show them those guns again. Kiss them. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Did Sandler see you do stand-up? Is that how he got involved? Or did they submit?
So, no. Okay, so let me explain. So one of my very good friends is a director named Nick Goosen. And yeah. I don't know if you have worked with him.
No, but I know him very well. Yeah, oh yeah, I know him very well. I'm a big fan, but yeah.
So he's awesome. He and I met like 8 years ago. We had the same manager. We just like, you know, had a general meeting, became friends, bonded over like burgers, and just have been friends for a long time. It's weird. He's like a very tall SoCal, like almost like surfer vibe.
Yeah.
But inside, I swear, he's like a petite Jewish girl too. And he,
which is the best.
I know. And he,
if you're a guy trying to like, you know, make a good impression, be just like access your inner tiny Jewish girl, just because you'll come off right. Like a lot, you'll be a lot more charming,
so
harmless,
likeable.
So yeah. Likable. I feel like you're really good in general meetings too. Yeah. I feel like you can just gab and bullshit and quickly steer the conversation away from like shop talk.
You know what? Maybe I actually, they're so general meetings are the most awkward, weirdest thing ever. But anyway, so Nick and I have been friends forever, and like we've tried to get a project going for a long time. We were pitching this web series, like we actually wrote a series together, digital series back when ABC was doing digital stuff. It never got made, but and so Nick was working with Adam on 100% Fresh. So Nick was just kind of helping. He shot some stuff for it. He was helping organize for the tour. And one night Nick was like, "Hey, let me show you this set of Esther." One of Esther's sets, and then he showed it to him, told him about me, and Adam was just like, "I want to produce it, let's do it." And Nick was like, "What? Okay, great." And Nick called me like, "We're gonna do your special, Adam's producing," and I was like, "What are you talking about? Like, I'm not doing a special."
So you hadn't even thought about trying. Okay, wow, that's fucking crazy.
You know, I'd always thought I had always had the idea in my head, like when I'm ready, I would like to do a non-traditional special where I include my parents, maybe a sketch. Like I kind of knew that, but I never was not near. I'm slow at generating material. So
yeah.
I had been doing it 10 years and did not feel ready for a special, but I'm glad that happened, obviously for many reasons, but mostly because it just gave me that like deadline and that reason to just kick myself in the butt and actually make it happen. You know, that crew, the Happy Madison crew of people, is they're just they're so experienced. They're so like happy and nice and friendly. And everyone who was involved was such a good person. It's like, they love what they do. They're taken care of. It was such a great group to be involved with, experienced, friendly, like all the best things you can imagine, you know. And Adam Sandler, like, he has the reputation he has for a reason. He is so kind and nice. When I saw him at the Uncut Gems premiere, he was just like, how are you guys? Like, he's just so,
wow.
Him and his wife are like, they should be the fucking like presidents of show business. Like, they're just so friendly and nice. And they, you know, they're just, I feel like they just make everyone around them feel so good. And so it was really cool. And I feel like very, very lucky to even know them.
That's bonkers and so unreal on many levels, because I think most comics, whether they, you know, were diehard Sandler fans, everybody in our like age range, there was something Sandler to get jacked up about, right? Some movies, some album.
Yeah.
You know, they just did so much that there's like, to have that be a part of like your first special is really great. That's like a big pinch yourself moment, and probably something that, you know, you'll be, you know, bragging to your kids about. Did you have people that were, do you want kids?
I don't know.
Yeah,
in the pandemic, it's really questioning it all.
1,000%. I just was with some buddies yesterday and with their kid, and they're crushing it, but they looked defeated. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were just like, no, it's okay. Just trying to find do you want another toy? Do you want to, no, you're good. You got enough toys. You do have enough toys, don't you? Yeah, let's go, because we're running out of cash. It was just like, yeah. And even being around my nieces and nephew, which I fucking love, they're a great source of birth control, but definitely like, it's 80-20.
You
like,
are so
love.
Sweet with them. I've never seen a better uncle. I wish you were my uncle. You are, you seem like the dream uncle, like the love you have for them. Feel it online.
That's cool.
It comes through.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Sweet.
I was just around them so much when they grew up, because they first four, almost 5 years without a dad. So I was like, my stepdad's great, but he's more of a, you know, works with, you know, kids in high school and whatnot. And he's just never been that attracted to kids at that stage. So I was like, all right, they need a male influence. And I just was the first ones in the family, and they were just great out of the gate. And also, you know, who doesn't want to like have people at that age that you can be that silly with? And now they're still, they're starting to be kind of turn into somewhat little bitches, but they're almost 11. So it's like, that's normal. And I encourage that side too, but they still, you know, they still are very silly, which I know I've contributed to, you know, expanding that side of them, which it's like, man, I just hope, at least for me, I know how the funny helped me through my life in good times and bad. And it's like, not that they need to be the funny ones or the class clowns, but like, to have a good sense of humor, I feel like can be a saving grace in so many stages of life. And even just as, you know, they start to deal with the girl stuff and whatnot, to have a, you know, a comedic mind to be able to look at the bad stuff will, you know, soften the blow of life. Well, that's all the time we
advice?
Have, Esther. No.
Do you have advice? Because I'm a terrible aunt. I feel like I'm such a bad aunt, and I want to be a better aunt. Do you have niece and nephew advice for me? I need something.
Wow. Should I start a separate podcast called Uncle Stuff?
Yes.
Here's how you be the fun uncle. The Funkle. I think, you know, I try to, you know, like even when I was staying at a hotel up in Seattle last time, and the pool, they just opened the pool that was at the hotel, but you had to rent it out. And I try to do just like their imaginations. I try to always get away from the electronics. They want to show me games and show me stuff. And I don't act interested. It's always like trying to do stuff that we did as kids, where it's games outside, it's on the playground, the pool stuff, like card games, or stuff that we just have to interact, and that a lot of make-believe stuff too. I mean, even in the pool, like we were doing this thing where they were creating these whole worlds, and it was like a choose your own adventure book, and they would, I would pretend to be this character, and they were mermaids. And I was a fisherman and I didn't know that they were mermaids. But then when I found out, I was trying to kill them. So I had these like pool noodles that were like harpoons, but they would kind of dictate the whole story. It was really just like when I jumped in on that level with them, it was, I saw them like look at me in a different light. And I started that like early on, because I definitely got high a few times and tried to read them bedtime stories, but they were just like, that story sucked. And I was like, that was 45 minutes of gold. And they're like, you just sat there and asked where mom hid the Cheetos and then said the end. And I was like, all right, fucking part two is tomorrow. But they just have such, I think so quickly with the technology stuff, they can grow up almost too quick by seeing too much stuff. So by never, you know, getting involved in that stuff with them and trying to keep them like, I don't know, just more kid like, and again, the
playful,
and the playful pretend stuff, I feel like has really, they I think all kids like get off on that way more than the technology stuff. It's just about having somebody to like jump in fully with them and access it. So I feel like it's, you know, because I didn't get a lot of that. You know, I didn't really, folks, or even my sis wasn't too big on that. So it's, which is probably why I like just would talk to myself or play with puppets. If I just started crying, but yeah, so I think it's, I think, yeah, getting involved with them on a, and accessing the imagination
creative,
is like,
yeah,
it's a home run. And my mom's big on like arts and crafts and shit. And I'm like, yeah, that's fun, but that only goes, but that's another, I mean, yeah, that's anything creative, I would say, I guess is,
that's really good advice. And I'm similar to you, whereas I feel like I was always desperate for someone to play with me when I was little. Yeah. And so I wonder if that's like part of why we're drawn to this career, because we, you know, I know it's really lame to say, but like acting is like play pretend. And, you know, I just wonder if that has something to do with, you know, how sad we were when we were little.
But 1,000% does. By the way, I didn't realize how fucking good of an actress you were. My girlfriend
you're so
got
nice.
Introduced to you on Alone Together. You and Benji, I mean, you just are so, for being, like having such a subtle delivery, you pop on screen. Like
you're so nice.
It's like a dry energy. I don't know what it is. You know what I'm saying? But because obviously like with your delivery and your tone, it's like real calming and easy. But like, you know, it's, and you obviously like just you heighten it for the screen a little bit, but it was like really easily digestible. And you and Benji's voices like matched perfectly, and your energies. And it was, yeah, it was just to see, you know, you on stage, and then that version of you was like really unexpectedly awesome. And
thank you, that's so nice.
Oh yeah, the show, and she was obsessed with the show. That was her first intro to you, and then when she got to see it at the store, at the Comedy Store, she was just like, yeah, even like it just like went up notches because now you're getting
that
this.
Is the
yeah,
best. When my male comedian friends tell me that their girlfriends like me, literally it gets me high. I just feel so flattered because I know that they're cool and they have like, and they have good taste because they're with someone who's so funny and cool. I'm just like, oh yeah. Like,
oh
that
yeah.
So good.
No,
that's
she,
the goal.
And she's like, you know, she's been to the store and just been gotten so obviously because of, you know, being fortunate enough to be us to be in a place where we're in the thick of it, right? And getting to do cool shows with cool people and getting to headline all that cool stuff. Once you get a front row seat to that, like you almost become not a comedy snob, but she just really has a solid taste now for what she likes and doesn't like. And she was laughing a lot when we were watching your special too, and she liked all the.
Cool.
Oh yeah, and she was commenting as well about the involving your parents and stuff. Did they dig that part, or were they like, "We'll do it for you because we love you"? But like, your dad seemed like he was all about it, and he's very funny on camera.
He so when I first told them I'm doing a special, they were like, "That's amazing!"
Cool.
And I was like, "You guys have to be in it," and they were like, "We're not going to be in it," and I was like, you have to be. I already told Comedy Central, and they're like, ugh, fine. And then, you know, because I had always Periscoped. I got really into Periscope like 2 years ago, and I would always try to live stream when I was home with my family. But my dad, whenever he would find out I was filming, he would like grab the camera. He was so mad. He never wanted to be on camera. So I was really glad that he kind of got into the groove of it when we shot this.
Yeah.
But they were reluctant at first, but then now they're like, they're excited about the outcome. I think they seem into it.
Have they had friends hit them up about, you know, being
a little bit
on TV? Yeah.
But you know, it's Comedy Central, which not everybody, it's not like the easiest thing to find for everyone. So I think it'll be a little bit of a slow burn because it doesn't come out in front of the paywall or however you say it. Like you need a cable login to see it now, but I think on August 2nd, you can see it for free. So,
oh, great.
We'll see like how the feedback continues, but it's been fun to hear from like, you know, my dad has like random college friends calling,
that's awesome. You know,
yeah, it's nice that it's brought people out of the woodwork in a friendly way. I have a question for you actually, because
please.
So I always look at you as someone who's very proactive, and like when I first started stand up, you were always putting out videos before it was like cool or like common to put out videos. Like you were so ahead of that. Like you were so on top of it. And I was always so impressed by your work ethic, how you just were always putting out funny content and keep it almost like keeping yourself busy in the right kind of way. And I have a question for you, because I know you have that in you. What are you doing now in the pandemic?
Yeah.
There's no stand up. You can't do stand up. But you are also not like trying to make a name for yourself, because you started movies, like you have this hit podcast. Like, so what are you doing? What is your like businessy career comedy advice right now? Like, what are you doing? How are you staying that like savvy, smart, ahead of the curve, Adam Ray person in these situations?
Whoa. Well, I love you for saying that. When I met you, first of all, what year was it? Because I started in 2007. And started working
probably
at the Comedy Store. Okay. Yeah. I think I started working.
Wait, you worked at a Comedy Store?
I only did phones. So I was behind the scenes.
That's right.
Like Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Fridays for like 3
what
years.
What year were you working there?
2010 to, I think, or even 2009 to 2013. I stopped when Bobby, started taking me on the road, and then when I got in the heat, I was like, oh, I'm not working here anymore. I was like, cause now I'm going to get some fucking sweet spots. Nope. Still 12:45. And I remember going to Tommy once and I was like, but you know, I never was like going to be one of those people to complain about where I fell. I was like, I feel like once you try to massage your spots, I would see people do that at other clubs and want to go earlier, get in the sweet spot. And I was just like, it looked gross to me. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. And then obviously like you get to a point to where it's like, if you're, you know, you're dead last and you ask somebody, because you're maybe if you have a 6 a.m. flight and you're whatever, and you know, but even that sometimes I feel like is, you know, it's like, well, then maybe just, I don't know. It's like, what are you really, you're getting out of an hour. You can't sit around and do your thing. And to try to massage your spot, I feel like is taking away from potential growth is how I saw it. Because I was like, all right, yeah. I was like, I'm in this movie. I would think that, you know, Tommy would throw me like maybe one 11:15 spot just because of that. And I know that stuff mattered to him, but I was like, hey man, like maybe you're taking away what you're going to get out of those 12:45s, 12:30s by trying to,
I like that attitude.
You know,
that's the winner's mentality, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely a bummer, and he was, you know, but I don't know. Right. So I always just, I don't operate well if I don't feel, again, like creatively satisfied and busy. But I have gotten better, I think, at chilling out and realizing that you can burn out. And I have a handful of times, and it's, you know, it's awful. And it's like, what's the point of hustling so much and trying to do all these things if you can't even be around to enjoy it in a, you know, and shorten your life and all that. But it's been a challenge. Right out of the gate, I was like podcasting a bunch and doing podcasts and trying to make quick little sketches to put out. And then that was fine, but it was, I was really kind of only doing all that stuff for Instagram and then the podcast. And then I was like, did a few Zoom stand-up shows, and that was fine, but it was like not doing it. And then I start writing and finishing some projects that, you know, things that you're like, oh, I just don't have time right now. And then I was like, well, now there's no excuse. So I should finish that movie I was working on, or, you know, that show, and then get it ready. But then, being like, well, when is that going to happen? So then I would kind of pull the plug on that. It's like, you know, wearing a condom the night before a gangbang you don't even have an invite to. I was like, there's no point to this, you know? There's probably a better metaphor, but that's what just came into my head. And yeah, maybe, but maybe not. That might have been it. So I just kept starting things and then being like, what is the, and then talking myself out of it. And then being like, maybe I should just enjoy life. And then I'd go up to Seattle for a bit and really just try to be like, hang more with your brother-in-law and talk and do that and just make more time for that. That's other thing. Oh, those were other things that I was always so bummed that I didn't have enough time to do because I was so work heavy. But then I was like, I need to be like that because I'm not happy if I am not, working on something. And building stuff from the ground up is like my favorite thing. So whether that is doing these character podcasts with Jeremiah where we have these loose ideas and we just fucking improvise our faces off and getting to kind of figure out what that is and you know, come up with new characters and then maybe, you know, see if there's things to extend that into a larger concept of a short or right now I'm trying to figure out if there's a way to get a small crew and like do I've always been big on investing in myself, and it's probably why I'll never have a backyard. But I, because I just, you know, put money into stuff that I'm just like, I don't know. I just want.
I am in literal debt for a tie dye business.
I'm about to spend $1,000 on your tie dye business, and so is my girl. I'm not even fucking joking.
You do not want to invest. You want to stay far away.
I disagree. I'm looks very comfortable.
I'm throwing money at these fake businesses that I start. It's crazy.
It's very pandemic of you.
Everything you're saying, I think we are so similar.
We are.
I have to go, be busy, 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 and then I don't enjoy my life, and then I crash, and then I burn, and I'm miserable, and like, I have no balance, I have to learn balance, and when I'm doing nothing, it's like I hate myself, I'm not productive, so hard on yourself, but then when you do stuff, I'm just really relating to everything you're saying, and
it's a tricky balance to find because then when you burn out, then you force yourself to have to chill out for a few days. And then there's something exciting about being like, all right, cool. This day I'm back at it. And you let your brain kind of rest and kind of, you know, be more, just prioritize what sounds fun to put your time and energy into. But it's, again, I think it's a cliche thing about living a life worth writing about. That's true on many levels, but also sometimes I feel, you know, if I live a life, even hanging in Seattle and having 3 full days with my nieces, it was great. And then it's like, I'll see one thing on Instagram or something that makes me go, fuck, you just wasted 3 days because look at what somebody just put out that, you know, some full length that whether it was a special they did somewhere they figured out a way to do or whatever. I was like, man, my brain wasn't in that world these last 3 days, but you know, it shouldn't, like, you just have to have that. Turn it on and turn it off.
Yeah. Cause that's really toxic. And if you are like so hard on yourself all the time and you can't enjoy your fucking family, like you're gonna crash and burn.
Yeah.
You're gonna, like, that's what I've learned. It's almost like how I kind of learned how to manage my eating because I used to be a huge binge eater, right? Like I could just go to McDonald's and spend like $50, like eat everything. Yeah. Like I could just eat.
Sounds amazing,
and
by the way.
So much fun. The greatest time of my life. And I would never throw up, but I would just eat too much, get sick. Like, and so, and I learned why I binge ate, and it was because I would it was a cycle I was in where I would eat a lot, and then I wake up the next day and be so full and be like, oh, I can't eat today. Like, it's and this is obviously like weird eating disorder-y behavior, but I'd be like, okay, I need to eat like just a salad and just a soup, you know. So I would eat very, very little that day, and then of course come 11 p.m. I'm
starving.
Whoa. So then what do? I fucking go to Taco Bell and eat everything in sight.
Yep.
And I think it's very similar with like your relationship to career. Like,
I've done that too, by the way.
Same thing.
With the eating thing, yeah, it's tough. My point is like
the pendulum will swing in the other direction, and you can't escape. You can't cheat it. Like, you have to really have the balance, or you'll fuck it up.
Yeah,
sorry that wasn't making sense, but I'm glad you eat a lot too.
Yeah, fuck. I was a fucking fat kid, so that food's been my kryptonite for forever. And finding when I see like The Rock posting his cheat meal of like a Sunday, I'm like, cheat meal? What is that? I'm just like, good on you for having discipline, Jesus Christ. But do I want those muscles? You know, sometimes, but you know. I'm fine doing 8 push-ups a year. But Esther, do you think you weren't supposed to laugh that hard? I think that finding being busy enough, I think, during this is, because I think to sit back, I want to come out of this, you know, mentally and physically better than, and also when will we come out of it? But I think that's a whole other podcast, baby. At least having enough like each day to feel to like fill the glass and not feel like I try to do one thing at least a day and not overwhelm myself with a huge list of things that are like really feed me creatively. And like this podcast is definitely it. And then I'll do there's some writing stuff I'm going to work on tonight, but not and then pick and choose. And then tomorrow is like a little bit of a heavier day with that stuff. But it's also all fun still. So I don't truly look at it as work, but I also suffer from, and I don't know if you do, like you have so many, great things going on. And can you sit in a place and go, fuck yeah. And how long does that last before you then like, but I want to be here. Like I want,
of course
I have a million things in my head right now that I want to be doing, and I have to like reel it in. And like, honestly, putting together some sort of a low budget movie and shooting it and putting it out or trying to sell it is something I really want to do right now, because I feel like people want so much content, and I'm like, at some point someone's going to do that and figure that out. Just the way like Zoom shows or, you know, with the digital screen, like at some point it's going to turn where people are going to go, this is what it is for a little bit, unless your Netflix is dropping however much money with these stars to make it work so they can put out. But there's going to be other things that just aren't, the opportunities might be less. So to create them more for yourself, I think, is going to be even a bigger piece of the puzzle, you know, if you want to
stay
relevant or stay active in whatever it is. Because if you can't.
Yeah, and just, you know, we have audiences. We both have built up audiences, so it's not like it's for nothing. Whatever you make, there's a large amount of people that are gonna love and enjoy that. So that also helps motivate, I think, for wanting to put your own stuff out there too. That's like a nice advantage, I think, that we have of being in this business for, you know, the last decade or whatever it is.
Do you talk to your you have a lot of famous friends, and I when I started to see, I think on Instagram or even the Comedy Store, like certain people you were with, I was like, God damn. I was like, that's fucking exciting, because it lets you know too that you're on the right. When people that you look up to start being like, hey, come fucking, like everyone's felt it on a certain level. The you know, a good chunk of us that we've started with that have gotten to do some cool things, it's happened in one way or another. And I want to know for you, what was like that first, like, Silverman, like who that like reached out or that you asked you to do a show or that said they liked your stuff, or does it make you giddy like it did with like Sandler and now at the special? What was like the first taste of that where you were like, oh man, I think I'm onto something?
You know, I have always really looked up to who I view as like the really cool female comedians of the LA scene. So the people like Whitney Cummings, Chelsea Peretti, Natasha Leggero, like I just have this like creepy obsession with all three of them. And to the point where Dave, my fiance, is like I remember once like when Natasha was doing an episode of Alone Together, I was like, Dave, I can't believe that like Natasha's gonna be in Alone Together. We're like gonna be in a scene together. And she's so pretty. She's so funny. Yeah. Dave's like, she's your peer. You need to like relax. This is weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. She's your peer. You need to stop. And I don't agree with him, but I did try to take that in and be like, okay, maybe it is better for my own mental health for me to view these people as my peers.
Yeah.
And I think ever since that moment, I try to just like stay calm, stay here, you know, because this is another thing I wonder if you'll relate to based on how I'm relating to everything you're saying is like, I am really done with the high highs and the low lows that I have experienced from this fucking business. And it's my fault, but like the highs of the yeses that you've always wanted, the highs of the performance on At Midnight that went great, all these like highs are so much fun and they're addicting, but they always come with a low. And so I'm really spending this year working on being done with that and just trying to just creepy crawl along on the middle, happy low medium line, because I don't want it anymore. I don't want to play the crash and burn game. I don't know if you, I'm sure you, there's no way you can't relate to that. You've been in movies, like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, look, there was it sucks. Getting control of that definitely is a must, because it takes its toll. I mean, I feel like I've, for as you know, many cool things I feel like I've gotten to do, I focus on the amount of cool things that I missed out on. And
that's
like, or the things that, like, you know, there was a year when when Mad TV, when we got on that, and then I was, so it was a sketch show.
Oh my God. It was so good.
It was all right.
It was so good.
There were some pieces that were really good. Yeah, I appreciate you.
I watched every episode, you and Amir.
Amir and I, the whole cast was great. Amir and I, it was so fun because we knew each other the best. So we had such a
That was what was so fun time. For me was to see you guys.
Yeah, I mean, that was so cool. So it was like sketch show. Then I was acting on my buddy Joey McIntyre's show. And then I was hosting this game show with Eliza. And I was like, man, I'm doing all the things that I've been honing for years with like hosting, sketch, and acting all in the same year. It was like back to back to back. And the way that they were viewed and the how fun it was, I was like, man, all these are probably going to do 3 to 4 seasons minimum. So this is just going to be a fucking steady climb and to who knows what, but I'm ready for it. And I blah, blah, blah. And I'm just going to really try to make sure that balance is good with taking care of myself and not burning the candle at both ends, which is tough to do because you're fucking, you come off of any of those shows and then you're like, well, now let's go fucking do this. And I just want to continue to ride the high and be social and do all that. And then all of them didn't come back. And it was just like this, like, oh man. Like, and that was the first real taste of just like, nothing is guaranteed. And it was such a, it definitely had a lull for a few, but then thank God for stand up. Cause you're like, I don't really have, I'm not going to let that seep into my set and I have to still do that. And it was a great distraction and something to go to immediately, but it was,
Yeah,
I hear you. It's like there's no rule book for how to like handle being here and then going there and then trying to just get back to here at least. And I think that's like, I don't know what class you could take or person you can talk to. Talking to people who've gone through it definitely helps because they can give you perspective. And that's helped me the most. If I can reach out to people like that I'm like, and I'm sure you have people like that too, right? Mentors. Sure, Whitney's been great for that for you, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, once you got Alone Together, were people like, all right, here's something that I went through with having my own show that you should know about?
Well, with that, you know, the thing that is great is that Dave is very, low. You know, he's so realistic, and he's very aware of helping me manage it. So, you know, he's always like, this is not a big deal. It's like, you know, he's just always trying to like keep me very grounded. And manage so that really helps.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. Very like managing the expectations. So, which is great because Alone Together, I'm like, oh my God, like I'm creating my own show. I'm starring in my own show, but it came out and like, it was on a network no one could find and no one had heard of. And it really did bad ratings wise on that network. It was like, it was a show kind of with the tone of what a Comedy Central show would be on a show on a network where that was not the vibe and that was not what that audience wanted. And so, it didn't take off. That said, like it's found its kind of new little groove and following on Hulu, which is so cool.
Okay.
And I'm so proud of the show. When I watch it back, even though it was so stressful and like a blackout to make it, I look back and I'm like, oh, this is funny. I like this. We did a great job.
Yep.
I'm so proud of it. But that was another thing where it's like, you're doing your own show. And then like, nobody saw it. That's part of this. And like you said, it's like, I could focus on that I made my own show, or I could focus on that no one saw it. And for a while I focused on no one saw it. And now I focus on we made a great product. So it's like, you really have to fucking massage your brain to do it right.
Yeah. Well, you fucking nailed your special. Hot for My Name.
Thank you.
Comedy Central. So proud of you. You're so funny. Your timing is just like,
so are you.
That's something too that just gets like, you know, and you're always getting reps. You're just people. We don't talk about it because I guess it just becomes second nature at this point to know that like the work that is required and never stops, which is why it's such a great profession. Not everybody does it because it is, once you know what's required, you know, once you're starting out, you're like, fuck, all right, I'm either going for it or I'm not. And then it's just being consistent. And you've always done that, which proof's in the pudding. Like your jokes are, your bit about being 18 was so fucking funny. There were so many jokes in that 3 to 4 minute chunk. And it was like personal. And it was like, yeah, you've really nailed like your point of view with like still being silly, which I think is, that's my favorite, is like some heart, but like some silly and like good jokes, but nothing that's going to, you know, that you can't miss. And your pace is always at a point to where it's like, even a throwaway, you still have time to like absorb before you go to the next thing, you know, which I always try to aspire to do because I go too fast and I sometimes don't give time to let things hit. And you do that beautifully.
Those are the best compliments ever. I feel very seen, so thank you.
Yeah, good.
And I'm going slow to fill the time because I don't have enough material. So thank you for those compliments on my timing.
Yeah, yeah.
You go fast because you have so much material because you work hard write and are very funny. But thank you. That
of course.
That means so much to me. And I'm so glad we got to talk about all this stuff because
this was great.
Nice feeling understood. Yeah.
Of course. Sorry, I didn't realize how
serious and lame and mentally focused.
I love these conversations.
Here you are with this comedy podcast, and I'm just going to make it sad.
No, Esther, this is what's great too about this is like we've known each other for so long and, you know, and had, you know, some business conversations like this where we've kind of related on these things, which is nice, but like to really talk about it like years after, once we've like absorbed enough experiences to have some insight, is pretty cool. Do you are you pumped to get married? You guys are probably waiting on that. I just want to ask before we wrap up, right?
I'm so not interested in a wedding at all. I was
well, pandemic
so
wedding,
with,
right? Fuck that.
Right, like you.
It's not even an option. You can't. You just gotta wait.
No, my best friend is also engaged and I'm the maid of honor and she's like still thinks she's having a wedding in December. And I'm just like, girl, no.
You're like, you're having a Zoom bachelorette party. Deal with it. Accept the fact that we're going to get a magician over Zoom and I'll mail out robes for everybody with your name on it. I mean,
what a good plan, by the way. You just did all my work for me.
That's Adam-Ray-4 at Venmo. Well, it's exciting. And Dave's a shit. You guys are an adorable couple. And guys, go watch Esther's special. Go binge watch Alone Together. I fucking love that it's on Hulu. That's amazing. And Dollface, too. You're on that, right? On Hulu?
Yes. That's on Hulu, too.
So great. At Esther, what's your Instagram and Twitter so people can follow you on
Esther
social media?
Monster.
That's right.
Esther Monster on Instagram and then Little Esther on Twitter. And Adam, I hope that you shoot some kind of movie in the pandemic. I'm very excited at the thought of that. So,
well, I would love to act with you, so I'll definitely have to. It's been the the last 3 days. Okay, good. The last 3 days has been more of a like getting like fired up about putting my money where my mouth is making it happen, because there's no, you're the only reason to not do it is if I just choose to not do it. So it's and I'm just I can't be bored, but acting with you would be a fucking treat. That'd be really cool.
I know. I would love to. Anytime you call, I'm in. I'm there.
And the tie-dye business. I tell people where to go and then text me the link so I can buy some
stuff.
Tell
me what you want. I will send you what you want. You have to just tell me what.
I'll support the business.
Size.
Where do people go? Well, that's a personal question, but yeah, that's where is what's the link?
The Instagram for it is Sleepover by Esther. So you can just go there, and that has all the info for when we restock and
great.
Everything.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, you make them yourself too. So, like, come on. Like, you don't want an original Esther tie dye? Like, it's not like you're buying them or getting them made. Like, you're in there doing it. Like, it's pretty cool.
It's not like I'm a comedian anymore. I literally make tie dye now. It's a great. So you do your movie. You go do your movie. I'm on a whole different level now.
Yeah.
You'll make clothing.
Hey, that is, we're all going to take other lanes are going to open up. You found one though. And it's like, everyone has to adjust and fill the time. And it's like, that's also a very creative thing. So it's,
it is creative. As embarrassing as it is, it's a children's camp activity. Bitch, it is creative, okay? I am creative with it, and I am having so much fun.
Yeah, what if you were like, I started collecting mugs. I'd be like, pretty cool, Esther. Let me know how that goes. Bye. But yeah, so you're making clothing, and you're and also it's like, it's a smart business move, because people, the more they see your shit and fall in love with you, they want to snab up Esther memorabilia. So that's a tough word to say. We'll edit that out. I love you so much. Thanks for doing this.
I love you.
Congrats again.
Say hi to your girlfriend. Thank
I will.
You. Thanks,
I will.
Adam.
Bye, Esther.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.